All right, welcome back. Dennis Stuckey Show and Matt Sheehan from the Times Herald is here.
Got my coffee. I'm ready to go, Dennis.
You needed that coffee.
Yeah, I did. I was struggling. I got like 2 minutes of sleep last night. So we're working through it today, though.
There you go. It's week four. Let's start in the MAC here. There's three games I want to focus on. We'll start right here at Memorial Stadium.
Yeah.
Port Huron High, Grosse Pointe North. The PH comes in at 1-2, and everybody, well, they're 1-2, Stuckey. How can this be a big game? For a lot of reasons, this is a big game for the Big Reds. But I start with league. If PH wins tonight, in my vision, they can't do any worse than share the league title.
Yeah, driver's seat if they win
they
tonight.
They can't do any worse than share the league title, and they'll have a shot to win it outright if they can beat Cousineau. Mm-hmm. Because they're going to beat Sterling Heights, and they're going to beat Lance Cruz.
Yes, yes.
They're better than those teams. They're going to win those games. They've already beaten Roseville. So they get by Grosse Pointe North. They're going to get at least a share of the blue title. And it also, at 2-2, it puts them back on course to get your six wins and to get into the playoffs. And I know that that's the most important thing to Ryan Mullins. He wants to get back into the playoffs this year.
Oh, without a doubt. I completely agree with everything you said. I mean, win tonight, and I mean, you're in the driver's seat for the league right now, especially, of course, with, not to dog on them, but Lance Cruz and Sterling Heights, Wade in the Bays. I mean, you're in pretty good position if you get out of here with a win.
And these two teams, by the way, haven't played since the 2009 playoffs.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's been a long, long time. And PH is 1-4 all time against Grosse Pointe North, just to throw some numbers out there. Mm-hmm. Northern St. Clair at East China Stadium tonight. Huskies have won 5 out of the 6 meetings between the two teams. Last year was a particularly good game. Mm-hmm. If the Saints could have made an extra point, we might still be playing overtime. it was that evenly matched, and it's kind of evenly matched going in this year. They're both two. Here's the thing. The winner of this game at the end of the night could be all alone in first place in the MAC Gold.
Yeah, absolutely. That's crazy. I mean, because when me and Joseph Hayes over the Times Herald were making the prediction videos, to me there was three toss-ups. It was this game, Marysville, Marine City, and then Croslex versus Almont. This game's a toss-up because both offenses are very skilled. I think it's going to come down to, you know, which defense steps up more, which front seven is going to slow down the other team's run game more. Which is no easy task for either team, especially with Northern. You got Travis Hughes, Steve Mason, or St. Clair. I mean, Colin Agosta and Ethan Mond in the backfield. That's a tough twosome to stop right there.
Well, really a threesome for me because I know Ben Davidson's not getting the yardage the other two are getting, but he's
lethal.
Scoring 2 touchdowns every game.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's going to be a fantastic game. It's, I mean, for these two teams, too, starting 3-1 is going to be a lot better than 2-2. Obviously, that's an obvious statement to make. But really, when you look at the rest of their schedule, I mean, they got some tough games ahead. So if they can go, the winner of this game goes to 3-1. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. I think this is going to be the game where we look back in week 8, week 9, and say this is why this team is approaching 6 wins in the playoffs.
For the team that wins this game, they can look at their remaining schedule and go, there's 3 wins there if
yes,
we can get them.
Right, exactly.
As opposed to if you lose this game and you look at your schedule, I don't know if there's 4 wins I can get.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a really good one. Marysville, Marine City, that's the game we'll both be at tonight. You know, if ever there was a year the Vikings were going to break the string, they've lost 15 straight to Marine City. You look at the records and go, it's this year. But I keep going back to it. Until all these teams beat Marine City, it's so hard for me to go against them. But I really think this is the year Marysville has a chance. Not because Marine City's 0-3, but because I think Marysville is legitimately a really good team this
year. Oh, without a doubt. Exactly. I haven't seen them yet this season, but I know what they can do just from what I saw in past years. I mean, obviously, Dante Check is one of the best, if not the best running back in the area. And moving Phil Grefort, too, over to running back, too, giving him more of a running role is a good move that Mark Cousin made over there. So
that's a nice 1-2 punch.
It's not too shabby. I mean, it's not nice if you're on defense, but
Check kind of runs it straight at you. And Grefort is a guy that if he gets the edge, he's hard to stop.
Still a tough runner, too. I mean, he's got the moves, but he can lower his shoulder and give you one, too.
And Cook has done a nice job there at quarterback. Obviously, he's not the focal point.
Right.
But he does enough stuff right that teams can't necessarily pack 10 guys into the box.
Yeah, they can't put the whole entire student body in the box with him at quarterback, which is nice. I mean, you got to have that too. So
that should be a lot of fun. The BWAC is fun every week.
Oh, yeah.
Last week's Yale Armada result really flips this thing around.
Yep.
I mentioned this to you before the show, and even you kind of batted an eyelash at me. If Armada beats Imlay City tonight, they'll have more league wins than the loser of the Elmont Croslex game.
Yeah, that did not even cross my mind before I walked into the studio. That's crazy. Good for the Tigers though. That's an awesome win they had last week.
How can you pick a winner of the Elmont Croslex game?
Oh, you flip a coin 10 times and you just see what, or 11 times. You don't want to tie.
It's basically who has the ball last.
And right on. I think that's what it's going to come down to. I mean, that's pretty much what it was last year. These teams, and I was lucky enough to see both teams early on this season so far. I mean, just Croslex's offense is so dynamic. They can do a lot of things with the ball on offense. And their defense is good, especially the front seven. But Elmont, when they have the ball, they do such a good job at managing the clock. They could chew up 8 minutes, 9 minutes in a drive, score, and just really, you know, change the whole momentum of the game. So it's going to be a tight game, but I'm going with Croslex in this one.
All right, Richmond and Yale. This is a bigger game for Yale than it is for Richmond. Mm-hmm. Although if you're in Richmond's shoes and you're looking at Algonac, going, well, they're probably not going to lose at KPAC tonight, so we have to win to keep pace with them and make sure that our game with them
is the BWAC championship.
Championship game. So in that sense, a young Richmond team needs to go on the road and take advantage of Yale. But here's two things: Richmond's coming off a huge win against Croslex, which could be, you know, you come into the next game, kind of there's a letdown sometimes psychologically.
Sure.
And Yale's just the opposite. That's a crushing loss for them last week.
Two ends of the spectrum.
Yep. So they want to turn the ship around and beat Richmond this week, and then they're Yale again.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Yale reacts to that game. They could either sulk and kind of just go out there, go through the motions, and you know, really lose a hold of this game quickly, or they can go about with vengeance and really keep this game close, potentially put themselves in position to win. So, I mean, this is really going to be a game to see where Yale is going to be for these final five games after tonight.
So that's a real big one
there
tonight. The other real big one is actually an 8-man football.
Yeah.
3-0 Peck at 3-0 Deckerville. The last four seasons, the winner of this game has won the NCTL, and the loser has finished in second with one loss.
Yeah, and it's usually at the end of the season, too. It's usually in week 8 or week 9. You know, we're usually waiting until October for this game to roll around, but here we are. I mean, week 4, I mean, that's a little odd to be talking about this game so early in the season.
But, and too, I know that you guys talked to the coaches up there, and they said that kind of gives it a little bit different
it does.
Feel for it, but it's still, the bottom line is in my mind, and again, nothing against the other teams in the league. They still have to go out and beat them after this game. But the numbers say they will do that, and this is the championship.
It's the de facto championship right here. And, yeah, I think it was Pat Coach Rob McDaniel said, like, the urgency just isn't there this year. And, I mean, talking with Bill Brown, too, I mean, kind of got the same feel from him, too, is, like, you know, there's not a lot of urgency that there would be in the Week 8 or Week 9 season, just because it is so early. So it is different. I wonder how it's going to affect the game, if by much. But I think Deckerville is going to pull this one out. I mean, they've been so dominant so early on, too.
Yeah, the Peck's been good, but Peck's been winning close games and lower scoring,
which
for 8-man football, can very low scoring games.
Which can be good, though, in a way, you know, just knowing that you can win those close games. But, I mean, can they keep it close against Deckerville is the main question. I mean, because I think Deckerville really has the firepower to make this a wide margin.
I know last week Deshaun Hamilton had the huge game, but at Peck, Buerman, he had two kick returns, an interception return, and a 48-yard touchdown.
He was a busy guy,
that's quite a unique football game.
Right.
All right, got to take a quick break here, but we'll be back for more in just a moment here on the Dennis Stuckey Show. Matt Sheehan from the Times-Herald is with us. Again, a big thank you to Mark Brochu, who is with us in the first segment talking about officiating. And we'll take a quick break here, and then hour number two coming up in just a moment on WPHM.
Back to more Dennis Stuckey on Information 1380 WPHM.
Welcome back. Dennis Stuckey Show along with Matt Sheehan. There are other football games going on tonight.
Are there?
Than the ones that that we were talking about. Just real quickly to run down the rest of the schedule. This should be a good game. Anchor Bay is hosting Utica tonight in Mack White. Mack Brown's New Haven travels to Lamphere. We mentioned Elginac's going to KPAC, and Armada's playing at Imlay City in the other two BWAC games. The GTC East has finally, here in week four, the league openers.
Yeah, here we are.
And actually, I would think at this point, these teams are looking forward to their league openers so that some of them can start winning some football games.
Yeah.
Ubley is 3-0. The rest of the conference is 1-14.
Yeah, Ubley's in the driver's seat big time. They're on a different road.
Ubley's at Brown City tonight. The Green Devils haven't won yet. Sandusky's at Memphis. Neither of those teams have won yet. And Harbor Beach, who won in week one but has lost two games since and got crushed. Reese beat them like 60-0.
Yeah.
Is playing at Marlette. And Marlette is 0-3 and has really struggled offensively with the football this year. So I'm not used to that.
No.
For about the last 5 years has had 3 to 4 to 5 good football teams that were playoff contenders, and that league has regularly sent 3 or 4 teams to the playoffs every year. So it's weird this year to see everybody down at the same time.
Yeah, not just teams in the playoffs, but like contenders in the playoffs too, like people that can actually make a deep run. But I mean, when you just looked at it, you know, during the preseason, see how many players all these teams actually lost, kind of had a feeling it would be a down year, but not as down as it actually has been.
Mooney on Saturday goes to Royal Oak Shrine. Go Cardinals.
Yeah, there we go.
Shrine is like a inherent enemy.
That's right.
Of our alma mater.
Got that right. Go Foley. Yeah. Go Mooney.
You know, I was excited because I read the scores last week on the MHSAA site, and they originally had Foley winning their game.
Yeah.
And then they flipped it over the next day.
Oh, they were winning at halftime. They just made the mistake of playing a second half in that game. Yeah. That's okay. That happens.
How about the game that nobody's talking about, and maybe they should be, the Mid-Michigan Inland Division. I know you follow that one tightly.
Very.
3-0 Merritt at 3-0 Hale tonight.
Oh, man. Look at that. Good for Merritt. That's really
probably the league championship game in
that
league
tonight. Yeah, we got a few league championships here in week four. That's weird to say.
CPS will try to make it 2 in a row tonight. They've got Caseville at home. CPS won last week in a wild one. It was like 64-38 or something like that. And you were telling me, was it Richie?
Yeah, Justin Richie. They're Mr. Do-It-All, primarily running back. He had north of like 450 yards, so all-purpose yards. Yeah, that's a busy night. Imagine how sore those legs were on Saturday morning. Yeah.
I mean, that's the football field almost five times.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I just run on the block and I'm tired. I'm ready to just go to bed for the next 3 days. And this guy, here he is. He's running all sorts of yards. Good for him. Yeah, exactly.
What else has been going on in the world of high school sports? Because I know you're out and about an awful lot. I know in volleyball, Brown City's off to a great start.
Yeah, they are.
Northern's been winning some big matches. I noticed they cruised by Chippewa Valley last night. They beat Marysville last week. Mm-hmm. So they seem to be doing well. Of course, we've got the boys' soccer season. Tennis has been going on. Is there any team or any individual out there that's really stood out for you?
Like how we were talking during the commercial break, over at Croswell Lexington, Marcel Munger, great soccer player over there. I mean, he just does it all for them. I would even put him top three soccer player in the area, really. Yeah. And I mean, there is some talent over here. I'd put him with Ben Algarabelli, Matt Schuster over at Richmond, but. Also, I mean, just Marysville soccer team, though, as a whole, they just had a great win what day was that? It was Wednesday against Port Huron Northern. Really, really impressive win, especially going to play a team in a division higher than them. So Marysville's having a really good season. That's a nice turnaround win they had there on Wednesday because they did have two draws and a loss, but now they're back in good form.
All right. So a lot of good stuff going on. College football this weekend, everybody's calling it a tough game, but who are you kidding? Michigan's going to win like 40-14.
They just need to show up to the field.
Over Colorado. This game does not interest me like it seems to interest everybody else.
No.
Michigan is way up here, and Colorado is still way down here.
I was going to say, you're better off playing like Central Michigan or Western Michigan than Colorado. So Colorado.
Western has been quite a story.
Yeah, they have then. Yeah.
That guy's a rock star over there.
They're favored in their road game at Illinois this weekend, too. They are favored.
They've already beaten Northwestern.
Yeah, they're just cleaning out the whole state of Illinois. They are cleaning that state out. They're wrecking shop.
But Michigan State, Notre Dame has got a lot of interest. I didn't see the Furman game. I'm just basing the final score that the Spartans didn't play the way everybody anticipated that one going.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what people expected, though, because it's pretty much a new offense.
40 to nothing. That's what I mean,
the game was kind of what I expected. I mean, we know the defense is going to be good in the front seven. We know the secondary is going to be spotty at times, but the offense is still a project, and that's why I think, I mean, Notre Dame has the advantage here. It's because it's a new quarterback. You got pretty much a new fleet of receivers, three new linemen. You got the returning running backs, but that's pretty much it. Other than that, it's kind of just a make-it-as-you-go project. But it's going to be a good game tomorrow. I'm trying to keep my heart rate down until at least kickoff tomorrow night.
The Spartans have had 2 weeks to get ready for this one.
Yeah, and they've had some injuries already. Yeah, they've had some injuries too, which I guess that bye week is really a blessing this early in the week so those guys can get healthy for this big game tomorrow. Because no matter what happens tomorrow, I mean, you got Wisconsin the next weekend too. Talk about back-to-back, dangerous games right there.
Everybody is like, well, Connor, he's not been in the bright lights. That's not really true because he played the Ohio State game.
Yeah, this is the second biggest game he's going to be playing in tomorrow night out of the three starts he's going to have. I mean, granted, he didn't throw the ball a ton at Ohio State, but still, like, just to be in that atmosphere against a record-setting crowd that Ohio Stadium had that night, I don't know. I don't think he's going to be nervous. It's just a matter of making his reads because he could throw a good ball. It's just a matter of him finding the open receiver and not just staring at one guy and throwing to him, which is what I saw against Furman.
Okay, and I always get pegged as the negative guy.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Sunday, the Lions will play the Titans.
Oh, here it comes.
The Lions will go to
2-0. Whoa, whoa.
They will.
2-0.
You think they're going to lose to the Titans?
I just figured you'd chalk up a loss every time.
No. They'll lose to Green Bay. But here's the thing. Yeah. After 6 weeks, they should be 5-1.
Should be. That's right.
They should be 5-1.
Right, which means it will be 2-4.
And they're still not a good team.
Wow.
And people are throwing stuff at the radio right now going,
they're driving off the road right now. Seriously.
I mean, they'll win tomorrow and there'll already be some people lining Woodward with their chairs for the big
parade. I'll be there. Yeah.
Parade.
I'll be there in a heartbeat.
Their Super Bowl parade. But this is I looked at it. They'll be 9-4 after 13 weeks. Based on their schedule, finish 9-7, and maybe that'll be enough to get into a wild card game, and then they'll lose because they're in the middle right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the middle.
They're
better than the bad, but they're not ready to play with the big boys yet. That's where the Lions are at.
Yeah, I don't know when it's going to be against the Green Bay game when we find out how good this team is. Because against Indy, their defensive line is not good.
No, they're awful.
So, they weren't really tested on defense. But then again, I mean, you just go to the games where ever since Jim Bob Cooter took over, he's calling a great offense. I mean, he's efficient with how he handles Stafford. The running backs, I mean, they look good. But again, it goes back to how good is Indianapolis's front seven, really. So
that's part of it is I liked the way they played, and I liked that they won the football game.
Indy's not a good team.
Indy is a bad team.
Right.
And the other things about it is even what you get in game, it's 21-3,
mm-hmm.
and you blow the lead.
Yeah.
It's 28-18, and you blow the lead. It's 34-28, and you blow the lead, and you're 37 seconds away from losing it, and then you have to execute all these great plays,
right?
And you were fortunate that you'd saved all your timeouts. Otherwise, we're looking at that as we missed an extra point and lost to the Colts.
Yeah.
And then what kind of a week would it have been building up to the Tennessee game around here? But, they beat a bad football team is what they did, which means they're better than a bad football team. Yeah. But I'm not convinced yet that they can play big boy football with the big boy teams in the NFL.
Right, I completely agree.
They're not going to go out and beat a Denver Broncos or a Patriots, and those are the teams you have to beat if you want to win in the NFL.
Yeah, am I still allowed to call it a good win even though it was against a bad team?
Any win is a good win.
That's true, especially on the road.
There are no bad wins.
Yeah, I guess it makes me feel better because for some reason I keep on wanting to call it a good win since it was on the road. They had to come back like that. The offense did look good. But then again, it was against Indy and the defense didn't look great. Andrew Luck could still be in the pocket like right now looking for a receiver. He had all day in the second half to throw the ball. Yeah. If we want to talk about defensive lines, I mean, we should also be talking about the Lions too. I mean, they kind of disappeared in the second half, but alas, we will wait until Sunday to see.
The Lions are interesting. And I look at like Abdullah and Riddick not as two players. I look at them as one player.
Yeah.
And if you do it that way, the Lions running back had 19 carries for 108 yards and 10 catches for 120 yards. That's a pretty good ball game.
That's not bad at all. Yeah. They seriously are pretty much the same. It's nice. So
yeah. So and the Lions aren't, since Barry Sanders left, the Lions haven't had a back that they give the ball to 25 times.
Javid Best didn't do it for you? No.
Poor Javid Best.
Yeah, I know.
What did he last? Four games?
Oh, but 5 minutes.
He was so good, and then he was gone.
Yeah. Isn't that the story of every Lion, though? Like, didn't you just sum up the last 20 years?
It certainly does seem like it, doesn't it? Anyways, what a shame.
Hey, go Lions on Sunday, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. Marcus Mariota.
Oh, I like Mariota.
I do, too.
I'm on his bandwagon.
But not in season two.
Yeah.
At Detroit. And I know they got DeMarco Murray now, too, who a couple of years ago was good. But
yeah. It's because he had a great offensive line in Dallas during that year, too.
I guess Conklin is there, but the Titans don't have enough, or they shouldn't have enough. I guess that's the way I should word it. They shouldn't have enough to come to first field in
right.
a game.
Right.
Of course, Tigers just lost two to the Twins in a series, and I didn't think that should have happened either.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to. I purposely designed the show today.
Look at
to
you.
Not have time to talk about those knuckleheads.
That's probably healthy for you and all the listeners, too, because that'll just get everyone upset, I think. No one wants to be upset on a Friday coasting into the weekend here.
Watch them go into Cleveland and sweep this week.
Oh, it was surprising.
Yeah. Be so typical of what they do.
Yeah.
Lose 4 out of 6 playing the White Sox and the Twins and the Orioles, and then go into Cleveland and sweep.
That's why I think they're still going to make the wild card, is because like they're so streaky that it doesn't even matter what team they play. If they're hot, they're hot, and they'll win. If they're cold, then they'll lose to the quadruple A Twins and the White Sox. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. We just said we wouldn't talk about the Tigers, and here I am talking about the Tigers. I'm part of the problem here.
That's all right. Yeah. Tiger baseball tonight at 6:45. Prior to that, you've got the Mark D'Antonio show, which comes up here at 4:30, and then This Week in College Football. And over on the stream tonight, Marysville Marine City High School football from Walt Braun Viking Stadium starts at 6:45. That's where Matt will be.
Yeah, I can't wait.
That's where I will be. Maybe I'll catch up with you at halftime if you haven't fallen asleep.
That sounds good. No, I'm not going to fall asleep.
This game's going to keep you awake.
Yeah, I'm going to have an IV drip of Tim Hortons coffee, too. It's going to be good. We are going to be up and at 'em tonight in the press box.
All right. Everybody have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday here on the Dennis Stuckey Show at 3 o'clock.